Let's bring this meeting to order. Let the public know this meeting is being recorded. And the first item on the agenda is, are the minutes of June 28th. If we have anybody here, we have them.
Under the Port Associates Partnerships for Science. There's an extra word in there, it says presented to change.
Oh, you still like this? Oh, okay.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Mm-hmm.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, next item are the July 5th minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next item is mayor's proposal for a single Plum Island conservation agent. Discussion? I think we're just going to
be
No, we're not approving it. It's just a general discussion. First discussion on the plan.
I don't see anybody who's on work for 35 hours a week.
I can talk to him about the mechanics there a little more.
One of the things we talked about in trying to get some help for the administrator is not duplicating any work and having to further complement how complicated your job. Do you see how that would work?
It's been mentioned previously in the, as I understand the discussion back and forth, it has been that there's an assumption here that it would be beneficial to the city of Newburyport to have this agent take on new additional roles, meaning extensions throughout the city of Newburyport rather than just doing Plum Island. That for consistency, I think it's preferable that whoever is in that position is doing the entire city because. That's going to benefit us from an efficiency point of view. So rather than having one person doing a small area and another person doing a large area, rather than remain in the city, that person is able to do all those things. And I think that that's what's been contemplated in this agreement with Newberry. That moving forward, we would be able to shift into that role where we have an agent who's actually doing the entire city. But this is a temporary one to figure out mechanically if it's working adequately. And to get to the times and everything.
I guess I don't understand is where's the time come from? He's already working 35 hours, and I assume they're not paying him for nothing over there.
That I'll have to defer to the mayor, because I'm not sure if the dialogue that they've had on that issue.
Is it true, Andy, that he was working employee of the town of
Newbury? Correct.
As the conservation agent?
Correct.
And he's also a voting member of the conservation commission?
Yeah, it's not an issue that I've been involved with, but yes.
Okay. I haven't had a full discussion. I'm going to talk with the executive director of MAC about
first delivery report, he would not have a voting position on the board. That's the age of never did.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, again, feel free to have those discussions with them. I'm not sure whether that would pertain to here, because it wouldn't be serving us in that capacity. But, you know, feel free to talk to them and see about that, and I'll follow up on that question as well.
Well, I don't think it's been great if they go in for a commission hearing. That's when the city is going to be on. So.
Right, but I don't know if they're wrong.
I mean, that would be an issue for the new area. Right.
I never heard of that pitch.
I imagine legally there's a problem to it. Probably would have brought this stuff on by now since he's been there for such a long period of time.
I'm still not fully getting, or maybe not getting, a full explanation of the rationale of why we would only be working on Plum Island matters.
Plum Island has a unique set of issues, and this is the explanation I've been given as well. Is it makes sense to have somebody who's doing the entire set of Plum Island, the other side, you know, town, city boundary, in New Bridgeport, where it goes right through a portion of the island. And it makes sense to have consistency in that. I think that's what the mayor's trying to accomplish here, is that there's one person dealing with all the issues on Plum Island rather than two different sets of, you know, administrators, one on either side of the line. So.
Of course, that same issue exists on you know, at the border of New Bridge, where there are wetlands down there by the railroad station, and, you know, it's, so it doesn't necessarily make sense that, I mean, you have to have a line somewhere.
Right. Well, I mean, as you know, I mean, we deal with watersheds all the time. I mean, there's a lot of people who think that watersheds should define municipalities as opposed to arbitrary lines, but, you know, they were drawn a long time ago. And, so, for some of the lines we have, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, depending on the issues. So, very rarely do you have a watershed that's actually defining a line, and a lot of them are just, you know, straight lines. But.
Yeah, and then the other issue is that we have the forthcoming citywide ordinances, which we,
right, and
essentially disrupt any continuity of rules and regulations out there on the island.
Well, that's what we have. I think the, I mean, that the section of regulations that pertains to the island is being carried over into the new ordinance that's been drafted. But again, it would make sense to have a single person doing administration of all the conservation permits. I mean, there's also an efficiency when you're dealing with the application of forms to have that for one person. It just makes it more efficient.
Yeah. You know, according to the newspaper, I think some of them, that whether the mayor's seen also, but
yep.
Ruby became in 20,000.
Correct.
And it, you know how many hours a week is, you know, we get for that?
Right, 20 hours. Excuse me. 20 hours is all that we do.
$55 a week.
Another issue I've got is the there's a now there's a dividing line on Plum Island, but there will be a dividing line in Newburyport. They're just going to shift the dividing line from there to the Plum Island.
I've had that discussion with the mayor as well, you know, suggesting it would make sense to extend those duties if we're going to have an AUV go down, specifically to extend that into, you know, the whole city. Just so that there is that, you know, efficiency rather than having a line in, you know, the city per se. The agreement does contemplate that in one spot there's a Plum Island Conservation Agency required to do some additional responsibilities as dictated by the Conservation Commission for reference plan development. And then municipalities may will consider expanding this agreement to include all conservation related responsibilities for the city of Newburyport. So, you know, there's contemplation of trying to expand that depending on how things are going. That's in the scope of duties.
So, is the ultimate plan that he would be the conservation agent for entirely Newburyport?
Yeah, I mean, my assumption is from this that it makes sense to, you know, for me, it makes sense to have one person doing the entire city report.
No, I mean the entire city and the entire town.
And the entire town, yes. Okay.
In how many hours then?
85.
Yeah, let's go from 55 to
And again, you know, my own perspective is the position here at Newburyport isn't necessarily a full-time position. It could be done in less hours than that. I do think it takes time to do all the work involved, but I do think that it could be done in less than a 40-hour week or a 37-hour week. So that doesn't concern me from a director's point of view. That doesn't concern me that it's less than 40 or 35 hours a week. The question of 55 hours in total, that's something I'll defer to conversations with Newberg about, you know, the hours that are needed on that end. But as far as I was from Newburyport, I could see that being done in less than 35 hours a week.
How many hours do you think the city requires?
To do this work? I would say at least 20 hours.
At least 20, but
yeah.
No more than
25, probably.
For all the cities, representing the whole city.
Correct.
And all of the more complex projects that we see coming from the industrial park.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Frank, I mean, again, I understand the commission may not necessarily agree with me on this, but that is my take from my experience working with municipalities and seeing the comparison. I think if one is a larger project, it would take assistance from the commissioner just to, you know, take a role in that more so than the agency on its own. But for most cases, I think that would be manageable.
Andy, is there a way of shifting some of the administrative clutter from the agent to administrator or assistant in the planning office?
There is. I mean, in terms of taking the application to form, we've been doing that transition already, but there are some things, you know, the drafting decisions, for instance, or making recommendations on plans. I'm not sure that
I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking of routine posting meetings and scheduling.
Right, and we've already been doing that transition. So administrative assistant is now drafting the notices, for instance. You know, that's something I've been preparing the agendas with you, but again, that's something that we can shift over a little bit as well. You know, moving forward, I've been just to make sure that everything's been covered. I've been doing that myself, but I think that's something we can shift over as well. This is a crucial issue because most things are just by statute and application. We know it's going to be on the agenda, and then the other things are requested by committee members. So,
one concern I have, I guess, about starting off with a notion that this person would be dedicated to just the Plum Island aspect of the job, and then if there's time and if it works out, it could be broadened. Duties and obligations have a way of filling the available time, and you know. And my guess is after 6 months, it would be, you know, there isn't enough time, you know, I can't do it.
Enough time to take,
to take on things in the rest of the
city. Well, I mean, a good portion of the work does happen on Plum Island, so you know, I wouldn't be surprised.
I think we might be better off with the shared services agreement if there was a, if the person did have responsibility right from the get-go for the rest of the city, even though we know that perhaps there aren't enough hours in the week to do everything.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's sort of preferable from my point of view to have somebody covering, you know, the entire city. But again, that's probably due to the fact that I could spend more time looking at things if there was an agent who was doing all that work. So.
But does it make sense to set the bar higher than is, you know, achievable? I mean, it doesn't sound like that makes a very good plan to me.
I don't know what's achievable. I mean, the agreement calls for 20 hours?
Correct.
And Andy is saying the whole city can be done in 20 hours.
Right.
Right? Now, we can disagree with that, but I don't know how long it takes. It depends on how much of administrative stuff can be. You can find another way of getting some of that stuff done, I think. So that the agent's role is pointed at where we really need the agent to be working.
The you know, issues like ordinance changes, development plans, and that sort of thing, I don't think wouldn't be the responsibility of that person who's working 20 hours a week. That's something that would be the prior responsibility.
Yeah.
As you know, we were talking about the ordinance at the last meeting, but you know, looking at applications that come in, doing a site visit to verify and see how things are in the field, and then writing up some recommendations for the commission, including a draft decision, that would be the responsibility of that person.
I think it's important to make sure that any administrative work that's taken on by office administrators, work that doesn't require expertise, you know, if that administrator doesn't possess that knowledge or background. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, even something may sound as simple as accepting applications requires a level of expertise in the regulations that, you know, in order to make sure that the application is correctly and answer the applicant's questions. And, you know, I think a lot of agents' time is spent answering questions for applicants who may not be educated in the process. So, I mean, I wonder how much administrative projects that can be taken can be passed on to the administrator who doesn't have that expertise. Well, we need
answers
to those questions.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you from, you know, with the commission having standard sets of conditions, for instance, a lot of that background stuff can be drafted, but then would need to be reviewed by whoever these, you know, positions are, either myself or the agent. If there's a Plum Island agent, that person would have to review that as prepared by an administrative assistant. So the only thing, I mean, you wouldn't have that administrative person drafting something instead of directly the commission. It would be reviewed by the agent or myself.
Right. So that, you know, where does the efficiency lie if
sure.
two people are always having to review the
sure.
same documents?
Sure.
And my other question is, how many hours did Mary work?
30 hours a week.
So, how many of those hours was she spending not doing her job?
I'm not saying that she wasn't doing her job.
No, I'm just saying this. How much slack is there? It doesn't seem to be much slack there.
Well, you know, I'm only basing it on my own experience as well. I think there's an efficiency that comes from standardizing the process, keeping it simple. And my own perspective is, I think that some of that could be streamlined. I'm not suggesting that she wasn't doing her responsibilities. I just think that there's some efficiency that can be gained that can reduce the amount of staff hours that we need for coverage. I understand the commission may not necessarily agree with that, but again, I'm basing on my own experience working in cities, working in towns, having served as an agent in the past, drafting ordinances, looking at the processes, for instance. That's just how I look at it, and that's my professional opinion. I understand the commission may disagree. You're entitled to disagree. That's fine.
Yes, somehow I just feel that there's going to be many efficiencies.
Well, and again, you know, from my perspective, it's beneficial to transfer that into the entire city. And then, you know, cost-wise, if that gets incorporated, you know, there's partially within that $20,000 that we're paying to the agent over there, because, you know, I think that that's something that should be incorporated together. So I discussed that with the mayor, and I think she's considered that, and I think that Newberry is aware of that as well. But again, that's a discussion between the two administrators. I've already expressed that I think it's beneficial to have that position incorporated and compass goal for the efficiency and you know, money for that.
So. My understanding is a fairly large part of the administrative terms that mean that guiding the applicants through the process is going to be a permanent time shot. Meaning, you're in the office and you're available. If an individual is going to be working 55 hours a week, if you're in one of those hours, and maybe outside of those working hours, working from home, working in here in City Hall, and City Hall is locked, I don't see that person being available as much as applicants would like them to be.
Right. I mean, we would set up standard times. All the staff in my office, we have recently put together a list of hours that the person's there, including myself. So as much as possible, you know, we accept things with some of the legal media or employee initiatives come up, we're there so that people can reach us. You know, Thursday nights were open to 8, so we expect that the agent, if there's a new person, would be available during those hours. At least most people want to be able to come in during the evening after work hours because they work themselves. It's only the contractors, engineers, and so forth that will come typically during the day. So we'd ask that person to be available during those hours and then some other separate sets of time. We understand the site visits and so forth. The planning and zoning administrator is not in every day of the week at this point, so I cover those other days, the days that I would be helping the people that come in. The administrative assistant's been there for quite a while, so she's familiar with the processes and will help people with you know, the background information it might be before it becomes a larger, more complicated issue, which only myself and planning and zoning are going to deal with. So it's a similar issue, similar situation to conservation agent position. If there's a person who's there part-time, I would be covering the other amount of time, and if there wasn't somebody who's available, so at the moment somebody comes in, take a message, we could back with some sort of response or assistance.
Andy, from your perspective, how many of the prospective applicants physically show up and need to and have a face-to-face with an agent? How many of them handle it on the phone or email or some other way?
I would say about 60% maybe are people that are coming to the counter, and that's 60% of people.
Mm-hmm.
Their phone calls are coming in, their emails, but I'd say about 60% of people have some interaction at the counter. They're not, you know, they don't know, you know, it's typically the engineers, you know, well-installed, you know, professionals that don't need to come to the counter because they already know the regulations.
The ones that do come, though, to the counter, is that because they're also maybe going to the building department to talk about a building permit? Or
Well, there are people who come upstairs with a building permit, for instance, come upstairs.
I'm thinking, you know, if they have a project, they might be killing two birds with one stone. They might be wanting to talk to the building department, get the building permit, and then maybe they get rooted up to the office.
Very often, the people that are coming up to our office are people who have just been to the building commissioner's office, and we sent them upstairs.
Yeah, because there's a conservation demand.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's, I would say, probably at least 75% of the time, the people who have been sent upstairs with building commissioner's office with an expectation that there's some sort of wells issue or maybe a wells issue that needs to be addressed or whatever else.
I mean, one of the concerns I've had about not having enough time for the person to be here or to interact with applicants is we want to make sure that people get the right take on what kind of permit they need, whether it's an RDA or an NOI. You don't want it's in nobody's interest to have people get way down the track and then, you know, say, oh, gosh, you should have done it a different way. But that's not good for anybody.
Agreed.
Any more questions? Individuals have an off-site storage. Somebody can move it,
you know,
comes here knowing that
that
person's here. Is that even
legal? Again, if it's once in 6 months, I'm not going to be complaining about it. If somebody comes to the counter, if it becomes a more routine thing, I'm going to make it very clear to people coming to the counter that the accounts here are devoted to the systems of Newburyport. The applicants of the city report. I'll let the agent know that they're going to have to make it clear as well that there's a distinction there. You know, they're working here, they're working for us.
It can happen the other way, too. I mean, with Packer, let's say, people, you know, Newburyport folk can chase him down over in Newbury and talk to him.
Agreed. I mean, I'm not going to waste my time if it's once every couple months or something that happens because that's, you know, that can happen anyway. But if it becomes more of a routine thing, I would make sure that that's not happening because I would want to make sure that we're getting our, you know, fair share of items. And that, you know, it's kind of like that. So I imagine they would do the same thing if something similar happens.
All right. What are the next steps
with this? It's going to the planning and development committee.
Correct. Yeah, they make a recommendation after they've reviewed and have some discussion on their own. They make a recommendation back to the full council.
Will any members of the Conservation Commission be present for that meeting?
I don't know. I actually don't know when they've scheduled this discussion. I don't think they've actually scheduled a time for it yet. Typically, they'll let me know when that's going to happen. But I can let you know so you can be present for those discussions. I'll check with Barry Connell, who's the chair of the committee. I'll check with him other times. He hasn't conveyed a date to me yet, so I assume that he has a schedule yet. But we'll find out, like, in a few miles, when he can talk to him this
session. Okay. All right. Well, let's go down to the regular agenda. Certificates of compliance, trustee determinations, minor modifications, and extensions. First one is Mark and Kim DiPiero, 2 Jefferson Street. Certificate of compliance, file number 0510794.
Should we have it over here?
What that?
I think you see in your packet there's some photographs, and I think you've only got black and white, but you know, sometimes they're showing the before and after. I wasn't here when this particular application came in, so I don't know if the commission's expectations were beyond the application, but it seems to be pretty stabilized at this point. You may know better than anyone, but
I'm not sure what this reference is to the ongoing condition and wanting to get rid of that. What's the issue there?
Monitoring, some of the boilerplate language requires constant monitoring reporting back to the commission. I'm not sure, if the commission was this on this one, there actually needs to be a constant reporting back to the commission.
I think we have requested reports for 2 years on the growth. I guess this is the 7 year report.
Yeah.
And I wonder, do we have the order in here? And do you have the order with you?
I don't. I can go back to the office and grab it.
Yeah, it's a perpetual condition that they would like to see really released.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's boilerplate language. It's not something that says, annually. It's not like a maintenance of the detention basin, for instance, where we've asked sometimes for an annual report, documenting that they've cleaned the system out and made sure it's still working properly and so forth. There isn't anything like that in this decision. It was actually about the sense of the vegetation taking and so forth.
Is that Andy in the office?
Yeah, I can look at that.
Chair, what about item 3 under the minor modification for the beach walkovers?
Am I looking at the wrong one?
I am looking at the wrong one.
Well,
there was a third item on
what it was.
I didn't know. I don't know if it's an action item or what it is.
Just looking at what I thought was the latest agenda Andy sent. That was not.
I have 3 things under Roman 2. 1 minute, mayor's proposal.
Yep. Yeah.
Computers, the 1-8 sentence.
Right.
Yeah. I printed out the other one, but I didn't bring it. Well, after we do this, we'll go back to that. I just didn't know whether it was a report or a discussion or an action item. Or pick it up then.
hearing. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be during the hearing period.
There it is.
We're actually waiting for Andy to come back with the file for the DePiero.
Oh, okay. Do you have the order with you, Phil? We're having trouble in understanding the problem with the ongoing condition.
No, the problem was a primary problem. That was the ongoing condition was that with the review, which it was, and I followed it. Complete report, half a dozen photographs.
Yep.
Yeah, we got on those. Got a couple more with it. Effectively, it is the last time to do it.
Okay.
Special condition level, and it was to be reviewed by June 30, 2001, and that was effectively it. So the certificate set that condition on it, so we just want the condition removed to move on our certificate, which
I believe. Well, I think if the last one issue was a partial, we just issue a
line. Right, final certificate.
That is correct.
So there is no ongoing condition with the answer.
Once a full certificate issue.
Well, there's no certificate. Just a clear
record. Yeah, the ongoing condition was just the one lower report. I'll make a motion to issue a final compliance.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, let's go back to the minor modification for beach walkovers and public access for 53rd, 5th, 7th, and 61st streets.
It does, in my request, I'm not sure of the process, but I think I expressed my uncomfortableness with the process for removing the manual. And what I'd like to see is a process, a written process. Who's doing what, the responsibilities, when they're going to do it, and how it's going to happen. Well, I guess we're going to consider a predicted storm. Because a storm predicted is going to be here in 2 days. What's the process that's going to happen?
Okay.
Signed by all the individuals who
gotcha.
Are named. And then I'd like to see an emergency process where the storm sweeps up on us or isn't predicted.
Okay.
What's the process for that? Signed by everybody who has some sort of responsibility.
Okay. I will draft something up and write it around so that I will set it up for that. And Mary's office is well.
Did we originally put like times of year, like actual dates where it's just going to be pulled up?
Labor Day, we hadn't specified it in approval, but we had indicated from the Beach Management Committee that Labor Day was the earliest it would be. We don't see that there's an issue with that quickly, because there is a period of time after that where they're really not too bad. But probably sometime in October would be a good time for it.
Normal processing.
Yep. Yeah. We'll put the inner and outer windows that have specific dates that the permanent of the permanent from the season is pulled up. So.
And you imagine the harbor master monitors the weather pretty closely for the purposes, the other core purposes of his job.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, we would have the harbor master essentially notify DPS. That would be the most preferable method. So, during the winter season, DPS and public services paying attention because of the snow plowing, but maybe a combination of that kind of thing.
Okay, let's move down to Norman Day, 10 Perry Way, request for determination.
Is everybody here?
Yes.
Hi.
My name is John Sauer, and I'm a local architect down in Newbury. But you have a packet here representing one day, 2 Perry Way. And this is 10 Perry Way. It's an existing building. You've got a new tenant coming in, a new university coming in, and they need a cover letter block. And we have we're not going to actually put a lamp down to the trash cans. We're going to direct that out to a specific area and return to the drainage exactly the way it is presently drained. So the canopy that's going to be over the dock, not going to have any gutters. It's the drainage counts on that. Not obviously the same area. The bituminous is under. And then we're going off behind the building into
the same grass way of the end of the rock.
Pretty minimally invasive addition, critical cover to this presence.
This is, I explained to the commission at the last meeting, this is a concrete, block, if you will, for the custom deliverer that's going to be placed where there's already asphalt, so it's not.
It's not a loaded door, right?
Right. So I suggested that an RDA be filed, recommend an approval of it, but with the condition of the building. While that was being done, this would be a personal solution, but I didn't see the need for a notice of intent for something else now.
I do have one question, and I have handouts here. It doesn't affect the couch on much of anything, but the new one would like to know the tenant, 13 foot dimension to be 14 feet, and 12 foot dimension, and 11 foot dimension would be 12 feet. And if it's going to hold up the approval on this, then it will stay the original. But if you could get.
You mean lengthening the dock?
Pardon me?
Lengthening the dock?
Yeah, that would go. The length of the dock would go to. Only I'll get these to you. Yeah, it doesn't affect much, but, and as I said, if it's a problem, you can keep it at the 30.
What's the new dimension? The old one's 11 by 13?
Yeah, this one will be 12 by 14.
12 by 14.
Yeah, you can hand it.
So again,
not a big deal, but
again,
it is to the owner.
It's still on the bituminous.
It's still on the bituminous. Yeah. The area is the same. And
I don't think so,
but you know what? Those are the things that.
Yeah, I don't think that it makes a whole lot of difference in the asphalt area. You're saying that the water flow is essentially going to be the same pattern.
That's exactly
as we do already. Arguably, the loop would actually be cooler water than the asphalt. So, I don't see a downside to that.
So on this plan that you passed out, all these proposed things are all in these places, correct? All the proposed.
Yeah, what we're doing is we'll be putting eight of those things,
which is this one right here.
Although, they're only going to, they'll probably excavate the thing in a day, right? And then pour the wall, concrete wall will be up in another day, but which will probably then just the natural flow of the way it drains now.
But on this plan, it's a proposed settlement. Right, okay, that was the question.
And Noah says, this is an old plan.
But my question is, it's already part of it. Yeah, to clarify, everything in there is exactly the same as the Shawna plan, with the exception of the loading dock, which is that shaded area, and the silt fence and hay bales that have been marked with text labeling them. That's the only thing that's changed on this, and the circle is actually shown to show you where the area of the everything else is out there on the field already. So, and that dock is on a paved area.
On the agenda, Tim Tracy, 2053rd Street, and multiple lots. Notice of intent, DEP file number 510860. Tim?
Sure.
You have your letter from National Heritage?
After multiple phone calls, yes, we do.
Basically says no work, including maintenance, shall be done during the period of April 1st through August 31st for a special condition. Does anybody have any questions on that?
Well, one of those, I think we should cover the program. City at that one time, down that
inform the commission, inform
I would say
I would say, you know, just because it's, you know, it's a very hot issue right now, we'll be less.
I do want to point out to Andy that it's just not myself on the mayor and the notice of intent.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually four.
Agreed.
Actually, five pieces of property.
Agreed. I was only pointing out to the other person.
I'm just the administrator. Yeah.
Sure.
So, is this letter from the attorney saying you can't cover four men?
No.
So, after all this 30 years?
That is correct.
So, can't do anything until
September
1st. That is correct.
So your plan would be on September 1st to do that 40 or so B.
Yes.
And then conditions permitted.
Yes. Paul, would you recommend a verbal or in writing to the commission when that time happens? In writing.
Yes.
Do we have anything else?
Well, if there's any sand left on the right of way, that I think, you know, we have some that was removed, so that's just one of the houses that we can take.
From the public, well, the public right of way is a 10-foot swap, essentially. I'm not sure the benefits of that. I mean, frankly, just looking at it, you know, from an engineering point of view, and people may have different opinions, the sand is over that area, it's protecting the bags. It's only when the sand washes away from that area that it's worth replacing. So it might be a slight incremental cost to do it two separate times, but the cost of, you know, trying to move all the sand and make it a complete continuous thing, I'm not sure it makes a whole lot of sense to do that. One, you know, the sand is already protecting it, and two, it's a benefit for a short period of time. The only cost, you know, the cost increases essentially for mobilizing the contractor, and that's what really comes down to. The same hours for kind of they're doing it, the cost to get the contractor out there, you know, from another project site, it's the additional cost. I mean, again, it could be done, but I'm not sure the cost benefit, I'm not sure if it works. Kind of just over all that sand, to do it when the sand is there and protecting it for that period of time.
Steve, can I jump in? The only way that sand could be moved is by having an excavator on. And being the individual that has monetary interest, so we just need to sand the road.
Could be that something the person also done.
I prefer just to let nature take its course.
If it happens, I'm sure that the owners out there are going to want to put that protection up as soon as the sand is gone.
And again, you just notify the agent on the table. It's not from our, not us saying it, it's a conservation commission, no, just the city.
Now, will that be in the order of condition?
Notify the agent, yes.
Yeah.
Notify the agent and the reference to maintaining the term of 3 years of respect to commission. If you want to go beyond that, you have to ask permission to the commission for an extension.
No, I would just say the special condition for on the outside of the right way to apply across the board to all of those.
Right, it would be uniform for all the properties.
And the other condition would just be for any work in the right
way, notifying
the agent.
Yeah, frankly, I would actually, again, before you vote on it, it might make sense just to have the agent notified whenever work is being done in the bad, just so that we're aware of that. just a little bit,
yeah. Anybody else? Orlando?
Close here.
Oh, okay. Well, hang on there. Anything from the public? Do I hear somebody? Can you first state your name and address?
Oh, Dorothy Sweeney, 1753rd
Street. You know, you've seen the papers. If you live out there, you know the issues involved. The commission wouldn't be the entity to let you know that something's happening in the right of way. You'd probably get something from the city. There'd be something in the newspapers, I imagine, if not a notice coming out to you. It wouldn't be from the applicant to give you notice of that, because the work that they're doing wouldn't really have anything to do with the public access issues. The bags that were there underneath the sand, those would just be maintained by them. If there was the issue of access would be sand and the mowing mats. If the sand gets washed away, the mowing mats get washed away, that would be the city's. The question is, you want to direct to the city at that point in the right of way.
I understand that, but my issue is that there's a blockage of the right of way. So it has to be done.
Sure.
And a temporary blockage, is there a time set for a temporary?
I got you. What we could do is, and again, I can't speak directly for the mayor's office, and I would argue it's not a commissioning per se, but we could ask the mayor's office to make sure that we notify residents, at least in that general vicinity, when that's happening, so that you're aware that, you know, during a given week there might be some closure of that one right of way or two rights of way, let's say, and then after that it's open again. There's some sort of notification process, and we would obviously try to time that such that the work wasn't done, you know, by the applicant during the period, and no kind of problem.
We'll see.
With the judges, depending on the issue. I could ask the mayor's office to make sure that you're notified in the area.
Anybody else?
Move to close the hearing.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We'll be going over orders of conditions at the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, next item is Michael Arcridi, Support Associates, 46 Hale Street, Notice of Intent, DEP file number 0510867.
Identical plan set.
guys have any more questions?
Okay.
Anything from the public?
Yes. Since you're Welch Volcano, 17 Colton Drive, I just want to go on record once again as opposing this project.
Okay.
Would you do that as we move forward to the end of
the work? Anybody else?
Move to close the hearing.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you.
I know you typically do the review of the order at the end. Is there any way we can combine everything else so wait to the end or do you
keep No, we're not.
Tom, we haven't seen it. It got handed out. The commission hasn't seen it.
Okay, so you're going to discuss it at the end?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll do that. Thank you.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is Mark Emmons, 9 Bill Run, Bill Run Drive, Notice of Intent, DEP file 0510869, and I am recusing myself. Next item on the agenda is Scott Kinter, 1 Lancaster Road, Notice of Intent, DEP file number 0510870.
Saw this proposed project.
continue because the commission needs to perform a site visit out on the site. And as far as I was told, the real only concern was proposing some possible planting on the lot. And the plan that I'm handing out to you does show three red maple trees that we have proposing. I believe that was all the concerns that the commission had.
So they asked Mr. Kinder to mark the line for some trees that were on there before the meeting. There were two trees that were flat.
I believe that was up to the point he was going to get from my conversation. Those trees would go, and then everything on beyond that point would stay.
It's hard to tell, but the trees are marked when people move. We must have something that marks those things that are staying, otherwise we can't tell.
Well, ideally, what we'd like to do is remove all of the trees up to the Hayfield line. I know we did have some concerns, I think, about certain trees out in that area. That's something that perhaps we could resolve, but you know, it is a small lot. It is heavy in that area. The majority of the lot is already cleared except for that portion. You know, from my speaking with Mr. Kittner was that he wanted to keep as many trees as he possibly could. But of course, with the site constructions, it is difficult in terms of construction, removing trees, possibly damaging roots and trees. Yeah, I'm still making this kind of media, so. I mean, that's something I can certainly verify. Okay.
Well, perhaps if there's no other issues with this, we could just put that on as a condition that we have a tree plan that's going and standing for the meetings.
That works, and then maybe.
Consistent with the plan that you have before this year. Okay.
Yeah, just, you know, just so that everybody is.
Sure,
just
on the same page before the work takes place. Yeah, okay.
The area is pretty dense with trees and other vegetation and stuff to tell us, so that's what. But that works.
Yeah. I'm not sure I understand what that plan would provide. I mean, it doesn't give us an opportunity to act upon anything.
No.
It's not acceptable. Then, you know,
no.
I think he's referring to marking in the field the trees that are staying versus going. That way, there could be a confirmation before the removal of the fake place.
Right. And that shows, I don't know, the builder is in there isn't accidentally.
So the applicant and contractor wouldn't be able to remove the trees and trees from the site until IS agent had gone out there and verified that the flag that they put out to match this plan. If they don't match this plan, then they can't take them down.
Anything from the public?
Yeah. We're kind of concerned about
Grab your name.
Yeah, Reverend, 16 Chandler Drive. And we own a lot next door. And we're kind of concerned about the drainage for one thing, since about three quarters of that plan is across the wetland border. And you're going to be digging a big hole in the ground, I don't know, 3 to 4 feet ahead of earth, something like that. And we're concerned about where that water is going to go. When they just
lot is very flat for the commission members that have had an opportunity to go up to it. It's very flat, and the entire site has sand slopes. That's certainly a plus in terms of construction. It has rather permeability.
May I say something? It's not sandy soil. It's clay.
Hang on a second.
It's hard
sir.
Clay.
Steve Mori has a straight lane past the road. It is clay soil. It's not sandy soil. We actually have sinkholes between our property and that property.
And the dirties.
And the dirties.
That's and all farmland that was plowed by bulldozers 25, 30 years ago. Okay? And that's my biggest concern is I'm going to have a foundation 20.5 feet away from my house. Never had any water in my basement. We have a finished basement. That's what I'm concerned about. And that's what he's concerned about, too.
Well, what I can tell you is that this is not washed clean. This typically has sandy soils. The soil map shows it as sandy soils. I highly doubt that it's clay soil. I highly doubt it. I disagree with you.
Okay.
Have you done any test runs or other tests?
Yeah.
No.
Was there any perk test run?
We haven't. No, we haven't done any perk tests because there hasn't been a need for perk tests. Usually you do that if you put in a septic system. That hasn't been
right.
done yet. And we're not performing this on the site. We would like to submit a letter concerning to the Conservation Commission. To put this on record for intent of appeal.
Oh, I'm just trying to get this to you right now. Thank you.
Do you have an extra copy?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Pass around later. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good size.
Allowed to take down within how many feet of the vernal pool and the stream that's back there.
That's what we're asking.
We're moving water back there,
right,
by the way.
So
we're actually moving water back there.
We're
a stream threat. I have my own plot there.
Yeah.
This is not just
I'm not disagreeing with you that there is a stream back there. I'm not disagreeing. What we're proposing to do is we're proposing work from the closest wetland flat. We're maintaining a 25-foot buffer of no disturb. That means no cutting of any vegetation will occur. From the erosion control flag to flag 2A. The remaining wetland area will have a greater buffer. That's the closest point we're proposing for in this area. And in terms of habitat, for the information of the commission, I did check natural heritage and endangered species. Atlas, this is not shown on that atlas.
In the application, we were asserting that this would be a disturbance.
That's incorrect. In the application, I had stated that it's shown as a perennial stream, but we provided documentation to show that the stream is intermittent. We have photographs of it showing no flow for consecutive.
I can submit. Anytime it rains.
We can't. We're not going to have a back and forth like this. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
In this letter, it says it's a non-storm pool property. Is there a state certified storm pool in there?
No. That's incorrect because I had checked the atlas as well as the habitat. I checked for certified storm pools.
And it's not a back and forth, it's just a statement. When we submitted to the Conservation Commission 7 years ago for an addition, Port Engineering identified a vernal pool behind us. It's within the information that they gave us. And we can resubmit that to you just so that you can say that.
Well, they should have gotten it certified.
I believe it was certified.
No, I don't believe it.
So, well, fine. All right,
trust me.
Yes,
say my real knowledge of the rivers laws involved. I'm not an expert in that. It's a 200-foot buffer for a perennial stream.
I believe that the work, the nature of the work would probably not change substantially, but the jurisdiction would change. Ultimately, they could probably do the same work with the exception of the patio area. Might be a problem. But generally speaking, that would be the challenge.
Alright, so the riverfront regulations are more stringent. So it would just be a matter of complying with that. It would certainly not make this lot unbuildable by any stretch of imagination.
What's
this 2005 file, there's no reference to a permit for this particular application.
No, I know there's no certified pool here. Certified all in the city. Court is certified.
Where the water table is, where the house is going, how far?
Well, the water table is the adjustment we have to watch on that, which is about 9 floors there. And the first floor is at 1.3.5.
So. Yeah, but when you dig out the foundation, you can be going into that table.
No, I don't believe so. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the city requires the foundation to be dug and the water table established. Am I correct about that?
In the building commissioner's office?
Right.
I would have to refer to the building commissioner's office. I'm pretty sure that that's the case. You know, in the building commissioner here, but I'm not going to put in.
But no testing has been done for the height of the water table.
No, it hasn't been
done. Typically, it's around 9 miles of the station. Down to 9 miles. Inside the surface, 5 meters
close to the road? Yes. Requirement of the first section. I also provided the street status report, and what that does is But as long as you have those photographs from the non-drug, they're legitimate. And these photographs have been taken in June, prior to the hot weather.
I think it'd be a good idea to ask him if he considered a smaller patio to.
Right. I mean, that's something my client would consider. Of course, he wants a nice large patio to have some barbecues, but, you know, in terms of the ease of the process, I think it's something he would consider.
Have it set up so it's not going to interfere with neighbors.
Right. I mean, if drainage is a concern, adding the top infiltration, that's not a problem. You can put gutters around the house and run it down to the outside chamber. That's something that you need.
Yeah. The motion will be August 2nd. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Next item is Robert and Carla Moore, 16 Grayson Street. Notice of intent, DEP file number 051870.
This is where I touched that to be grass and Mr. Moore asked for
lots of additional mitigation there. It's well over, probably about 250 square feet in this area, in this area, rather than doing it in
it all the way down?
The top side.
The plan shows 144
does rather have poor soil or whatever, which is, looks like there are gravel mixed in there at some point. So that would be that right side.
Where that 144 is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have to do all this.
Do all that.
This whole side here is going to be
just for clarification, I'm comfortable that that can be a condition that we can accomplish that through a condition that describes that area if the commission wishes for a plan. I'm just not sure that it's necessary. I think we could do it tonight if you wanted to do that. I think we could craft a condition that just describes that area. Right. Yeah. 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 We'd have to come back and tell me.
Bill, are you comfortable that beach grass would succeed there?
Yeah, if we put up a fence. Keep the people from walking on snow fence.
I thought you said that there was a soil issue there.
Well, the west side is all sand. It's just been chopped up probably before these people put in that walkway. People walking there, traveling there, driving stuff there. I think it's what is planted is probably trying to stop.
You're saying on the right side, that's where the gravity looking is next to you, right? Yeah. Where the 144 was done.
This side is basically also all the sand. It's on the
fence.
Temporary fence. Temporary. Yes, temporary. Okay. Snow fence. Temporary. I know where you're coming from.
Anybody got anything else?
Anything from the public?
Motion for the hearing.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Okay.
Thank you. Next item, Bud Jarrett, 17 Graff Road, notice of intent, DEP file number 0510864.
Good evening, my name is John Hagler, Inspector Engineer. I'm representing Bud Jarrett on this project. This is what I continue for a couple months ago, I guess. What we did is we wanted to introduce the project and take the next step, follow through the planning board and the Puerto Rican South of Christmas and Surgery. They went through this thoroughly, leading into it. I'm sure that we've responded to all those comments. And it's safe to say that this new goal is somewhere in the guidelines of the state. We have an access certification to act that.
I have drafted for the commission a set of conditions. Especially a boilerplate set of conditions, is there anything that's stuck on that draft? The stormwater issues were resolved, the Christian Surge did review those, so those have been approved by Christian Surge in parallel to the planning board review. That's the fuck that set of plans as well.
I know we had discussed mowing times for the fields there. Is that part of the maintenance plan?
Yes, it's within that. It's one the end. And I believe we've all agreed on once the year long.
Yeah.
Monthly, but not short of 4 inches. Grass clipping is removed.
At least monthly?
It says at least monthly.
Where did you find that in?
I'm sorry, I'm looking in the pollution prevention and operation maintenance plan. That's,
yeah.
Did you look on, well, there's a page on it, look under section 6, where you look at discharges? If you go to the top of that page, how would they get there? Top of that page, then where it says 5.2.7, if you go down there to the last sentence.
No, that's for the swales. Okay, that's fine. We're talking more about the wetland area that it might see camped off.
Oh, okay. I don't know what once a year.
That issue in this similar measurement report is not highly guided.
Okay.
So, on the wetland mitigation, I don't see the difference.
That meadow conditions persist, these wetland areas will be mowed once annually after bird nesting season. I think should be is over and laid on them. The replacement area will be graded concurrently with the other proposed site work and planted as a wet meadow mix.
All in favor?
Aye. Okay. Next item on the agenda, enforcement violation, City of Newburyport, Department of Public Works. Same place at 53rd Street right away and access to Plum Island.
This evening we have Tony Panari and your planning and the commission has questions.
So basically, there was sand put at 53rd Street, and I believe at 55th Street.
55th Street, correct. Again, I know that we had talked about this previously. My interpretation of the last meeting the commission had was that sand was okay at 57th and 55th, it was 53rd, it was a concern.
Gangway that took the history. And as I understand, there was no need to be any sand at 55th Street. What is that like?
Well, you know, I think we're seeing really the case of the enforcement order. What do we want to happen?
And essentially, since the National Heritage letter, nothing should be done out there.
So what is the process?
I would...
Work is done without a permit and enforcing order. I mean, this could happen anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an enforcement order in place.
If we
vote for it, right.
Just for clarification, sand was deposited in two locations, 53rd and 55th, is that correct?
Right.
And nothing in 57th?
Isn't this sand in 57th as well?
Oh, so...
Oh, sand was put in 57th?
Yeah.
The 57th is the group that meeting before.
Okay.
Right. It was always assumed that if you say that 57 because there was no January, at least not
right.
This year.
And that 53rd, subject to National Heritage waiver.
Correct. And the response back, which the applicant has put through previously, is that it's exactly the same National Heritage.
So basically, there shouldn't be any work out there after April 1st or before September 1st. And there can't be any more until then. Yeah, but the point is the sand is already there.
Correct.
Forcing its removal, even if we could do that, you know, is more work, which, you know, Natural Heritage doesn't want to see.
Exactly.
Yes.
I understand that.
And as far as I said, is what would we improve this? What would we have to do? And
exactly.
And, you know, the things that the deed was done, I don't know that the placement of the sand there has caused harm to the deed, which may not last.
I mean, one issue we didn't address at 55th was, well, what could there be some sort of a temporary expedient involving sand while the gangway gets constructed? Because clearly that was not going to happen real quick.
Right.
And I don't know when it'll happen, if at all.
The gangway?
Yeah.
I actually was talking to the designer earlier today. It's going to be a couple weeks out before they're going to have back to us.
So that'll be nice for next season, but not so.
Well, yeah, we're trying to get out there as soon as possible. We've got some back and forth with really the design divisions to make sure that, you know, meet all the standards we have. That's the response I got back from the vendor.
So I don't know what we would have done had somebody said, well, wait a minute, we're going to use sand this season because the gangway is going to take too long to provide seasonal access.
Drew Plant gets here from the mayor's office, but my understanding, again, the mayor's concern and the concern of some others as well, is that public safety during that period, you know, especially with a heavy season, people going over the fences, people going through the roof, you know, that was a concern. Again, I'm not defending that action, I'm just saying that's the concern that was there.
Yeah. So I think if the city come in with a request, put sand on the 55th Street because we knew we can't wait to get done anytime soon. I think we now have the fact that perhaps National Heritage doesn't even want sand deposited during the clover season. It could well be that the city could have called National Heritage and see that if there are no clovers in the area, could they waive that that would have been up to the applicant.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things could have been done
differently. Yeah, I think basically this could have been done a whole lot better.
What kind of permit would this require, an NOI? I mean, rather than persisting with the enforcement order, my inclination would be to basically address it as a with an after the fact RDA.
My concern is for the city's apparent lack of regard for the process, though, and I would suggest that an enforcement order be on the record because this is an ongoing problem.
But to me, an enforcement order means you expect somebody to do something.
Yeah.
What do we expect them to do?
Follow the process.
They didn't follow the process.
Exactly.
So where does that? Getting back to your point, Paul. Where do you want to go with this? Issue an enforcement order that everybody's going to say, good for you.
Yeah. Where we, one of the outcomes of the enforcement order is they have to file the notice of intent, and it might be good to have that because, say in August, we have a small hurricane, and all that sand goes away from 55th Street, 57th Street. Maybe we have a backup plan for that reinstated installation.
So maybe what
there's no permit for any of this.
I understand.
Yeah.
So maybe your enforcement order would address the future rather than not in terms of removing anything that's there, but just following the process and addressing what happens if sand washes away and what to do next.
And it would go
Right.
Yes. But I don't think anybody wants to do any work there now.
If I may, I wouldn't expect them to give what I've said out there because the same order in place. With regard to the notice of intent, and that's been brought up as a suggestion, sometimes that's necessary. I guess from an administrative point of view, I'm not sure that what that would accomplish potentially, because you have an enforcement order out there. Presumably, the follow up to that enforcement order says, no work should take place out there, no further work should take place out there until after or starting September 1, which is after the date the National Heritage has given us the closure season. I'm not sure what the notice of intent would accomplish. The result of that would be, in order for this to refer to the exact same thing with the exact same window, and the beach nourishment project already covers the issue of putting sand out there, so we basically have two overlapping NOIs. I'm not sure that the NOI for this particular issue would accomplish a whole lot. To me, the enforcement order already speaks for itself. Maybe you have a follow-up to that that specifies what the letter from National Heritage said, which is that April 1st to August 31st date. But I'm not sure that the additional paperwork or NOI would accomplish anything. That's just, and the important work that has to be done itself in that perspective.
We need to complete this permit. I mean, the irony of this all is we're in a position now to have granted a permit. But because we got the letter, but no work would have been able to be done.
I know.
The bell isn't wrong, it cannot be unwrong. Okay. Paul, looking into the future, you're making a really good point there. I'm just, I want to verbalize this because I need to make this one through out loud. Having an enforcement order on books with the NOI complete, I mean, we've got to be completing stuff here as we go along because stuff can continue to happen on the beachfront.
If I may, though, that's why I made a reference to the beach nourishment project, because that, if there's any expectation of that permit that sand would be placed there, the issue that the commission, as I understand, the real issue here is that the commission had referenced the window, the season, or the issue of the core bags, obviously, and the seasonal issue, which is referenced in the National Heritage Letter. So it's not so much that there's a missing permit in place, it's the seasonal issue. If I may, so I'm not sure that. Right, so I guess all I'm saying is I don't know that I do. Yeah, I don't know that the bonds are afraid that they
caught it. It was a specific project, and that specific, that was already done. And we
can't say 5 years from now that, well, there was a beach nourishment project 5 years ago that allowed for dumping of sand, and so we just dump more sand.
Yeah, again, I'm just saying that because that permit already covers the placement of sand there, I'm not sure that, again, I'm speaking the benefits of having an NOI filed by the entity that's receiving the city, the entity that's receiving the enforcement order. I mean, the enforcement order is already saying cease and desist any further placement of sand out there. Presumably there's some sort of follow-up on that that references the National Heritage letter saying, you know, in accordance with National Heritage, you know, here's the window of anything in the future. You've got an enforcement order out there. That's your action that you'd be doing anyway. If there's a concern about anything further that happens out there, you take it from the enforcement order out. I don't know that the volumes of paper that comes with the notice of intent is going to accomplish a whole lot here, because if there's a concern you have with some work done in between that time, you know, you've got to be back in the same situation, you're back to the enforcement order. So you've got a notice of intent that already references the sand that's out there. You've got an enforcement order out there that says no more sand to be placed out there beyond what's out there already. I don't know what all that paper's going to accomplish. And that's just, again, I'm not speaking about.
I tend to agree with that. I think an NOI is just overkill. And, could it be addressed just with an amendment to the beach management plan? Addressing access, you know, with these right of ways?
Maybe represent a seasonal issue, because it's
important. You know, I think that maybe it might be good for us to review that order of conditions of the beach management plan. Because now we've had a few examples of things that can go on. And maybe we want to.
I mean, we did just, at the time when we did issue that order, you know, we left open the question of, well, what happens if there have to be changes?
Right.
Does a new NOI have to be filed? Can the order just be amended or modified in a minor way? And I don't think we ever really came to grips with that.
No, maybe we'll
well, I think that we can find out if there are changes that we would like to make to it, and then have the beach management group ask them to apply for a change.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
You know, not necessarily a minor change, but
this is going to be ongoing.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't want to have to require a new permit every time somebody wants to do something in one of these right of ways.
Right.
Unless it's different from what's been.
Right.
Well,
cool.
Wait a minute. This was a pretty unique situation. This was houses being threatened going that they were going to go into the ocean in the wintertime.
Yeah, yeah. Right. That's not part of the beach management.
No, it's not.
No,
but
that was a permit. Yeah.
Right, and it was a pretty unique permit at that.
Right, and those were still. Right. I mean, for.
But that's what we're trying to complete here, isn't it?
What?
That permit.
No. Trying to go beyond it.
Well, we are trying to go beyond that, but I'm talking about, you know, the process, the whole process that we entered into.
Yeah, I think we're just trying to find the right context for addressing the right-of-way management issues.
The beach management plan and the order conditions and references it refers to these streets as being ones that is a priority should have access, eliminating all these miscellaneous ones in between that have been sort of informally created, and trying to focus people on the major access points, the public rights of way, as possible only, and minimizing the ones that are informal because it sort of, you know, creates additional footpaths and grasses and so forth. So kind of minimize that footprint impact, but keep it in the public areas. And it was originally contemplated in that plan in the other conditions that it would be a walkover. They each have some sort of boardwalk style walkover with staircases. For some of the different reasons, the staircases don't make a whole lot of sense there. You know, for instance, one of them is the core bank, but another one is the steeper slopes in there, and the fact that the sand is moving, you know, in and out. So,
and they can be very dangerous to any
work
that's
done. Right. Right. So the discussion we've had since then is to modify that and say, well, let's try something like a boardwalk with a gangway that can be adjustable to that height of the sand. The order of conditions was granted to implement the beach management plan, which referenced all these public access issues and tried to get those accomplished in an environmentally safe way.
Right, we were working against getting this permit, Andy, because we were finishing up with the fortification with the Corvette.
Oh, no, and I'm not, yeah,
it was
I'm not.
Slow, yeah. You know. So
So when it's cold outside, everyone's really concerned about protecting that area, but when it's hot out, everyone wants to walk over. Mm-hmm. So we have two things working against.
Right, again, I'm not speaking to that.
We make those two seasons work with each other. That's like the bottom line.
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of paper and force and order. We also have to, though, respect the fact that we have natural heritage stuff and the plovers, and that is nothing new. Everyone is aware of that. That's been before the beach situation got so great. So we can work that into be part of the beach management.
Right. And that deadline, that window, that time frame was not contemplated in the beach management plan because it wasn't identified at that time.
And April 1 might be a little bit early because we get storms. I mean, if you want to start thinking ahead of you, we get storms in the month of April. It's April 1st, the natural, natural heritage is no work between April 1 and August 31st.
Mm-hmm. Well, the issue before us right now is really the enforcement. I mean, we're not in the process of discussing the beach management plan as a whole right now. So let's focus on the enforcement one.
Yeah, I would think if we come up with something basically saying no further work can be done out there till after August 31st. And we can, in the meantime, we can go back over the order of conditions for the beach management plan and see what can be tweaked in that. You can go
sure. Back. Well, yeah, it'd be nice for them to come before us and make any proposals that they may have, any adjustments to the plan, and we can discuss that.
It seems to me that from the Beach Management Committee's point of view, that the sort of unaddressed issue, aside from the seasonal thing, the unaddressed issue is that, the Beach Management Plan really never contemplated that interim situation where you don't have these fully constructed walkways out there. You might have to have something that's less formal, like a sand ramp with mowing mats. And maybe perhaps it should have been better, put a better provision in it that said, until those are actually constructed, there should be sand plays and sand ramps and mowing mats to stabilize it, to focus people on that public access area and keep them off of the rest of the dunes so they can be preserved, for the proper protection and the environment.
Well, we welcome the opportunity to present that.
Right.
But my goal would be to end up with enough flexibility in both the management plan and the implementing order of conditions so that, apart from maybe some advance notification to the agent, we don't have to go through a permitting process every time somebody needs to address access. I mean, that's...
Yeah, the purpose of those kind of order conditions is to set the ground rules so that, in this case, the city knows that they want to do this, these are the parameters.
Exactly.
Well, that's what the beach management plan is designed to do.
Yeah, except it isn't specific enough
to
have addressed, as Andy said, this interim situation where, there's going to be a walkway eventually, a hard walkway, but what do you do in the meantime when people really need to get on the beach?
Yeah, there are gaps.
So, and I think the management plan can address that, and we have to come in the order to bring that along, and we do it.
I will put that on the beach management agenda for discussion, some sort of.
But I think advance notification, at least for the agent, of work is going to take place. Even if we authorized it in flexible terms in advance, I think, because how it is. What's written down that you can do somehow isn't quite what gets done.
I think the advance notification should be with both the agent and the chair.
So with the enforcement order.
Motion to issue the enforcement order. Prohibiting any further work out there on the front line until
September 1st. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
keep in mind, we really do need to move the rest of this along in this window that we have, because this order shouldn't imply that after this date, you can just go and do whatever.
Right. August 31st.
August 31st, right. And the negative implication here is, after August 31st, we can go and, city can go and put more sand down or whatever. And that's not, I think, the direction.
Well, it's specified in the enforcement order that the that any further work be specifically allowed within the beach management plan.
All right. I like that.
Well, there is a permit out there that covers some work already, the beach management plan. The question is, if it's beyond the beach management plan, maybe it needs to come back.
The management plan needs to be tweaked. And
it can't work against the implementing order condition to threaten the integrity of the foreground.
Right.
It would be really ideal if you had some geosystematic before the sandwich.
Yes.
That's a fact.
So do we want, I assume we've got to make an amendment to the enforcement order, since we already voted on something. Do I hear a motion?
Well, the amendment that's stated.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. And that is that. Next item, order of conditions. Who's first?
First is, we have, I don't know if you want to do this, we can try to take over the time. We have some comparison information for the government.
You want to pour a sermon?
Well, yeah, just a representative for the public.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do the way for the matter. Sign everything. You got to sign the other ones, too.
I'm just, we were going to talk about the order of the conditions, but I just want to run around. We have a early proceeding, a specific compliance, determination of applicability, and, for the 28th to 3rd Street multiple lots at North Central Beach, signing the order conditions. This is the request of determination of applicability at the San Perry Way, that's the loading up. We have a certificate of compliance for 2 Jefferson Street. That's the first time we've been seeing this.
Conditions is 53rd Street to 267. Excuse me? It's the meeting portion of the, it's not a hearing portion. It's a meeting.
I had 3 conditions that I took from the discussion about 28th, 53rd Street.
I heard the 28th.
For the 53rd Street, the multiple lots. One is for allowing the maintenance for a period of 3 years. There's an extension requested. It may be granted by the commission, but it needs to be requested beyond that time frame. That the agent should be notified if any work is being done on the core bags. and that the seasonal April 1st through August 31st as it's set out of the National Heritage Day. Those are the three special conditions here on the standard boilerplate. And then we
second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
All right, if we're going to route this order conditions for a while.
We're on Port Associates.
Port Associates, you have before you, there is an amendment to the project description to take out the phrase "and restoration" on the first page. I didn't hear any other special conditions brought up by the discussion for you, so.
What was that one again, Andy, on the first
page? I'm sorry, on the first page of the draft, under the project description, at the end of the sentence there, taking out the word "and restoration."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't want to object to that. If the, as far as special conditions, I mean, basically this is all pretty standard, but the page 3 or 5, conditions 39, 40, and 41, that's about the invasive removal and the meadow management plan. These are conditions where they have to submit something in addition at a later date. But the rest of that is pretty boilerplate.
Which one are we on?
We're on the Port Associates.
Oh.
Yeah. You have to look at page 3 or 5. Just because, yeah, this project is probably what you need. The basic removal. So I needed a separate set of conditions. I had a discussion about this with Tom, and he didn't have any objection to this language. So. That is
the last one.
That's for 2851st Street. You got some crazy and those other residents.
How do we know that?
I'm sorry. I think I wrote on the back my pencil mark. I'm going to be filling out the rest of that form. So I just, because I don't have everything, it's typical, we sometimes sign the form and then attach to it and everything else, so I'll fill out the rest of the form later on, but that's why, similar to the strict compliance, I'm going to attach the front page to that. I don't know if there are other special conditions that the commission will also have.
Do we want a time period on limited mowing on number 41? It's kind of big.
Meaning seasonal or multiplier times per.
Basically, at 41, the applicants will provide, oh, actually, Harry says
it does say,
it's
going
to be approval, so
yeah.
It's in there. And you could change if you want. Right now, it's to the conservation agent. You could either express to the agent your desire to see that, or you could change the agent commission. you know, whatever your preference is. The intent is to have it probably spring and, you know, early spring and late fall mowing during relatively dry conditions.
It seems like there's something
like 6 inches, which
yeah,
is what
it seems like something
change that to commission.
All right, so we're going to change that to commission on number 41. Is there anything else?
No. Does that include the armor walls?
We actually, it's part of the plans that it's been incorporated. So.
Is the language in that paragraph on the invasives calls for removal of all woody invasives at a minimum, all woody invasives. So what we're looking at is all invasive shrubs, all invasive trees, all invasive vines that are within the buffer zone, which is the jurisdictional area of the commission. And we're probably going to include into that threat rights. But we're not going to go into the regenerative grass control, because that just.
That's the piece that was dropped during the last discussion.
Right, which is why it basically the minimum requires us to deal with the weed. So that we just deal with the auto hauling, we go through roads.
Is there anything else out there, those who are up at the site visit, that problematic about it all, besides the boardwalk?
That's the only thing I saw.
Yeah, there was a pile of debris.
Is that in the jurisdictional area?
Oh, yeah.
It's in the jurisdictional area.
It's in the jurisdictional area, but right on the property line, and then.
This is the one, isn't it, where the neighbor has been mowing down in there?
Yeah, down the bottom of there.
Yeah.
I think Kurt Young was concerned over moving that debris process. It would alter the hydraulic flow of
the neighbor.
Yeah.
He said it was on the neighbor's property, but it didn't appear that at all on the neighbor's property. So, do you want to condition it to include the stuff that's on the property owned, or do you
condition to remove all debris
that's on the property?
What is
the
property?
Yeah, on the property.
There was some dirt, there were bushes. I mean, there was a tree growing out. There was a good sized tree growing out. So, it's been there staying on the
yeah.
The benefit of removing it.
Yeah.
The boardwalk would be
to leave a boardwalk then?
Yes, we would.
Discuss that, yeah, it's one condition, as I understand it, yeah. Let me see all the standard. I'm just going to write this 9 over on the building conditions form.
This is a lot of order conditions. This is one of the most I've ever.
This is unusual to have somebody on one night. You said they're offset by. Yeah.
There were a lot that were continued, and then they kind of added up and kind of added.
Well, okay, I've been obviously quiet, and I promise I won't always be quiet, but these are all new issues to me.
So
yeah.
And there were a couple of new ones for us here tonight, too.
It's always the curveball.
Yeah, that's the fun part about this.
We're going to have nothing to do for the next month, though, with all these
rules. So, Robert and Carla Moore, 16 Basin Street.
I just want to be very clear about where this litigation is going to go, you know.
Yeah.
As is typical, you know, there's some photographs and there's a sketch and there's a lot of talk and, you know, it's...
So we were requiring that Bill come up with another drawing. It wasn't anything formal, but it was to show that the 220 or 240 square feet on one side of the property show. The 144 square feet was taken away because that was what was discussed. And that also the special conditions verbally describe the boundaries of the communication area. Right?
Yeah, the as I understand it, the will of the commission that we discussed earlier was that the entire rectangular area to the north of the single family home that exists on the site right now would be vegetated with the dune grasses.
It's 240 square feet.
So leave it off on one side.
Yeah, they offered the
exact size. I thought it was 250 plus 134 at the end of the day, wasn't it?
No.
You and she were talking very quietly over there.
It's all of this.
Yeah. That's all the north side of the building, and it's the entire rectangular area.
You know, you can do that graphically just with that sketch, rather than try to. You know, use words if you want.
From street to rear?
From street to the shed that he's proposed, yeah.
Yes.
It's pretty much the rear.
We say that we would require prior to the commencement of the project that.
Yeah, you submit a plan.
Right. But I think you were talking about trying to do it verbally.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll just add in the part about him submitting a plan that shows that prior to this.
There was also.
So, Andy, can you just make sure that they get that?
To be reviewed by the commission.
Yeah, you can just zip it out as an email.
Yeah.
If you would, just PDF.
Yeah, it's going to say that the applicant's required to put the dune grass in the entire rectangular area and submit a plan showing that prior to the work on the center.
And that would be protected with that.
Temporary. Do you want to describe what that temporary is?
Do we want this? What is it usually like? 2 years, two growing seasons?
Two growing seasons on that.
It'll be temporary.
Yeah.
Okay. 2 seasons.
And can be protected by the snow fence for 2 seasons. I don't know. I don't want to tell them shall.
Okay.
for the full certificate. Yeah, okay.
Gone,
that's
there.
Well, again, if they've asked for a certificate of compliance, you know, the final certificate of compliance during that period, and your order condition says that they may keep it for 2 years, you can try to give it temporary at that point and say, then we'll give you the final when you actually take out the fence at 2 years.
My concern is that the snow fence morphs into a stockade fence at some point. This being Plum Island.
The fence is for them. If they want to, a wall, if they want to keep it there to protect the grass, you know, it's, I would say it's up to them, but.
Well,
is there,
I don't think the snow fence meets the requirements of a fence.
50%? Oh, and 2 feet above, you know, what is it, 20 inches?
But again, it's going to protect the green grasses, which is probably arguably more important than my own.
I think it sounded as though from Bill's reaction to the putting the grass there, that is a pathway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the snow fencing is probably important to allowing that beach grass to, you know, to grow there and fill in.
Mm-hmm.
Or for no longer than 2 years, whatever.
We can always do a minor modification later on if we want to, you know, let them leave it longer than 2 years.
So the requirement is 80% open for the first 2 feet above grade and 50% open above 2 feet. Dedication would be helpful to, I mean, as far as our resource.
Yeah, the snow fencing, I think, it falls in a different category than regulars, because usually that's used either for protection of a resource area or for building up to do it.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I would say maybe we're trying to micromanage this, and we just say, yeah, they can use a temporary
snow fence. So they can protect the.
Let them decide what temporary is.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
We have a lot of experience.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And last but not least, 17 Bath Road.
Oh, sorry, yeah. What are the conditions for the 16 bases? I'm running around right now.
Yeah,
so, conditions for draft roads off of the provided is that at the end of on page 3 or 4 in the special condition, adding an additional one that referred to the mowings. I'm not sure how the commission wants to phrase that, but that was the condition I think that needs to be.
And that's, we're relating it to the O&M, right?
That's not in their O&M?
No, if it wasn't, it was in another document.
Stormwater. We reference all the reports in the decision. I'm just wondering whether you want to have your own phrase in the decision that calls it up, just because it's instead of on this document that no one's probably going to post on the
site.
I would think we should,
I
wish we had that wording.
Do we want him to mow it, or do we want him not to mow it more than once a year?
Yeah,
we're talking about once a year.
Once a year, yeah. After the, like, I don't know.
It's in narrative. Once a year.
It's in narrative. And why narrative?
It's in the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
regular mowing of the existing BDW will cease and will maintain it as well. In this way, there will be net gain in wetland area. This is talking about bringing the wet meadow back.
So it just said regular mowing and seeds.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anything about mowing.
To ensure that meadow conditions persist, these wetland areas will be mowed once annually after bird nesting season is over in late autumn. The replacement area will be graded concurrently with the other proposed site where it is planted with a wet meadow and its higher organic content. Will be added spaces to topsoil and depth of the mulch.
What page is your narrative?
Well, we just put in the initial that the wet meadow area will be mowed this year in place.
I mean,
March 21st.
Is the commission comfortable with that language? Do you want that language parallel in the decision, or do you want something in addition or different than that? Not so different, but.
I think it's just a way of reiterating it for around my concerns, because after this is all done, nobody's going to need that.
So is it just a reiteration of the exact same language then? I mean,
that's right.
If you're comfortable with the language, I'd prefer to be consistent with that so that there's no, you know, rather than have people get. Okay, so let's get that language in the, as a condition.
Some of them have been here for 7 months.
Yeah.
You want to revisit that idea about the August 2 meeting?
I didn't turn it on, I just said exactly whatever was here. I mean, it is kind of hot, but I didn't even think about it.
I'm just
too lazy to get out of the house. Next time that I think about it, I'll just turn it on again. That doesn't occur to me.
It's very noisy. It didn't seem all that warm to me when I came in, and there were so many bodies in there that. That's not normal either, Jim.
So what was that, the enforcement order?
We have the enforcement order.
I've been here a couple times, but I was surprised.
They have reporters behind you, too.
Oh, that was that one?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. So it's all the documents.
You don't usually get a lot of ink at our meetings, but...
That's a good ink.
Well, no flak jackets necessary tonight, either.
You haven't left the building yet.
They're all. Well, the plovers are all out there.
So, all we need is the enforcement order.
The enforcement order, as I understood it, that was. Again, reiterating, there's a certification of the enforcement order previously issued. Joe had issued one, I thought, the EP form, standard form. Commission has certified that. We
should write that before we just put a signature to the record. You know, so we can done by the meeting.
Well, yeah, we got to ratify it.
We ratify it.
Do we have to also sign your response letter?
The DEP form is the exact same thing, essentially. They both said the same thing.
Oh, the thing that went to Tony Pinard?
Yeah.
No,
that's...
Oh, no, that doesn't... Yeah, that's not an action that needs to be ratified. This is the enforcement order, so if you want to, as commission members, just sign here, that'll ratify the enforcement order, telling them to come here tonight and cease and desist. The question at this point is, do you want to follow up with that? And says, you know, as a follow-up to that, you've got to do a separate enforcement order, you can do a letter saying, as a follow-up, no further work to be done out there until August 31st, or excuse me, September 1st, is the day after that.
Why wouldn't that go in here?
I would, yeah, I
just gotta go in here.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, because this is the original enforcement order that I issued, we could add that to this in the. Instead of the extended order, restoration plan. Property owners should take the following action. So we've told them to show up at this meeting tonight, and we can say after that, we can say no further work to be done on the site until after August 31st. And any work at that point shall be consistent with the DEP's major plan, or otherwise we better.
Yeah, that's good. But I think it all needs to be in one place.
Yes. Yeah. I can write that in there if you want.
Here, you write it in there.
See, the neighbors worked up a lot of heat and dove on the intake since we were out there. It didn't appear to be all that controversial when we did our site visit.
Don't look at me, I'm accused.
You were acting like you were accused. I'm sorry, Lancaster Street.
Yeah. Oh, Lancaster. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
I was surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, that
buffer there for so long.
And the neighbor was there, and you know, it all seemed to be, there seemed to be pretty good dialogue out there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, boom.
Well, what's interesting is they both approached on his property.
Yeah.
They're so upset about it.
No, I mean, not unless you clear cut everything through the wetlands beyond.
Get some sprayers permanently.
It's a real jungle out there. It's a real jungle.
I don't see that as a risk benefit.
I mean, it's all kind of a whole bunch of junk.
Bittersweet out there.
I know that's not cool.
Okay, it is.
It is?
Yeah. Wow. The only reason I have small handwriting and I don't do well is have like a really sharp pencil and pen and kind of merges together.
All right, no further work to take place until after August 31st, 2011, and any work after that date shall be consistent with the approved beach management plan or otherwise approved by the commission.
Rather than consistent, can we say in accordance with? Because, I mean, people can argue that all kinds of things are consistent with something else.
I guess we could say pursuant to.
Pursuant to, in accordance with something like that.
Okay, yeah.
I have a problem with the consistent.
Yeah,
it's good to have a lawyer.
So far, the fees haven't been all that great.
You get every penny out of it. Although
the city car helps.
This means that construction
Yeah, I mean, I, folks that were here this evening are probably not happy about it, but I'm not going to get it before that. Anyway, it sounds like we're going to go with the manufacturer. So we're going to, right, what they told me today is we're going to get out there until October 1st. So we get some time to go. I'm trying to get it pulled together as quickly as possible, but I don't have the revised specs and what it's got. I mean, like, we know what the design looks like, but we want to make it the hardware spec to be sand is all tolerant. So then I want a spec on the wedge and couple other things that I want to discuss. But if anyone who give them a time frame that says to me tomorrow, they don't like to do it.
There's probably
going to
be a maintenance plan.
What's that?
There should be a maintenance
plan. Right. Well, that's why I want to spec to at least initially start out right. You know, after that, we can do a maintenance plan.
Any volunteer?
Actually, so the, I mean, they're basically city staff, myself, Jordy Biney from the planning office as well, Andy Flanagan, the mayor's assistant, Alison Harquist, who's the ward counselor. We have one resident out there. We have a representative from the police department, the harbor, harbor master.
Is it through an executive order from the mayor's office, or?
Yeah, it's not a one that's appointed with the city council appointments, so it's actually appointed only through the mayor's office. I'm not speaking to the, you know, the
benefit. I really don't have any
idea. Yeah, it was created by the local mayor, created at that point to implement the beach management plan to make sure someone was actually monitoring it in addition to the commission, you know, make sure there's a formal committee that meets on a monthly basis to make sure the beach management plan is implemented. So Mary was chairing when she was appointed as chair of that committee. When she left, I recommended to John and the mayor that that I be appointed in her place to carry that on. So we met last month. We're going to be meeting again, I think, a week or two. Again, so our goal is obviously every month to make progress and implementing the plan to make sure that anything we do out there on the beach complies with the beach management plan.
I wonder if the mayor would consider appointing a member of the commission, not that I'm volunteering, but perhaps one of the commission members who lives on the island. Not only that, you fall.
Wait, the newest? You're serving now.
Thanks for joining us. The suggestion is one of the things, and I'm not trying to throw you under the bus here, but.
It's a track view.
I just think, one of the things that we've discussed in here in the commission as of late is public outreach and issues like that. And it might be in the beach committee's best interest to have a member of the commission on the committee.
It might be enough if we had a specific person that way we could.
I would agree. I think politically it makes a lot of sense. I mean,
we've
taken a lot of heat lately for not being sensitive enough to Plum Island concerns. Maybe this would be a way of showing that you're more sensitive to Plum Island.
The other problem is it's during the day.
Because the process is very misunderstood by the city council for sure.
I just want to clarify as well, just because I'm a little confused, the beach management committee, which I'm the chair of right now, did not order the work that was done out there on 53rd, 55th, 57th. So, made that clear in the discussion internally.
You're a mayoral consulting board, just like the Open Space Committee.
And that action was initiated by the city through the mayor's office, the DPS, not through the beach management committee.
But it seems as though there were a lot of members of the beach management committee here.
Correct.
That seems like that's a pretty well lobbied group. Perhaps we could provide some clarity by having a representative. I guess I speak for only myself.
I don't really know what it entails, but the job is, again, by education and training, and I taught courses in Northeastern.
I always been a field scope of Plum Island, you know, to explain how geology and evidence works. And I used to be, for not that year, but for 3 or 4 years, I was the storm watcher, I guess I'll use that term, the CCM out there. So I have a, you know, I guess I have a lot of familiarity with the beach, but from a geologic perspective, per se, not so much from the political perspective, but nonetheless, it's the benefit everything. You know, sure, I'd be in charge if it would help things out.
Thank you.
So, is there agreement with me comfortable with that? If Mary's office, and if you're comfortable,
Yeah,
that sounds great. The only, and we might have to restructure the problem for you, but typically the train meets on a Thursday at 2-3 p.m. So, I don't know if that works for you.
Oh, yeah, no, we saw the board, so once I have something really pressing, like out of town job or something like that, you know, I can always jump on my schedule.
Okay.
My community days, my work is best with it, but I know I'm not alarming about.
Okay.
4-2 would be difficult. After 2 is not a problem.
Alright, but when you set up that way, you know, I try to set up most meetings, as you have done at the beginning of the year, most of the committees here have done, the department committees here have done, so that people can anticipate, the board members can anticipate, the staff can anticipate, you know, what's going to happen as far as meetings go.
Uh-huh.
So we've got that way on a monthly basis, just so that everybody knows, and then you know that since someone from the police department, the harbor commissioner, or harbor master is going to keep that, reserve that time for that meeting. But we can, if it ever is a problem, we can let them do that.
So is every
Once a month on Thursday. So we have a meeting this Thursday, as I said, we're thinking about next week. We're meeting this Thursday to 2-3 p.m.
So like third Thursday or something?
Exactly. So we just did that every month. So I mean, next week we'll continue the same schedule as a problem for the membership. No, I don't think they're regular people watching.
One thing I would like is a copy of the order of conditions for the beach management plan.
Oh, did I not do that? I didn't email it to you guys?
I don't think so.
I'll say if I didn't do that, I'll reset it. If I didn't do that, I'll reset it. If I didn't do that,
I think, you can send the notes you can send in the order.
Okay.
Just so, I think we really should sit back and look at it. You know, that's an experience now. We change this for a new board.
Do you want the order conditions and the emergency notice on the time?
Yeah. Well, Andy, knowing what my schedule is for this Thursday, if a non-member is allowed to sit in the back and kind of get the gist of what it's all about.
They're open. Yeah, they're open. We're not closing meetings.
Self-hearing.
Yeah, we have it here in the Calvary Chamber. The last meeting, we had a lot of residents show up because they were aware that we had a discussion of these access ways. I'm trying to get something out there and, you know, explain to them that it's going to take a while to get some of these things done. And, of course, some of them being a little faster than that, but then, you know, it's going to take a while to get the walkways out there. And, you know, we didn't expect sand to be done the next day. We had a lot of residents show up for that one. I imagine there'll be a few at the next one, maybe not as much as the last meeting, but a few will probably show up at this Thursday meeting as well as a follow-up to the discussion about the
3 p.m. you said,
yeah? 2 to 3 p.m.
2 to 3, okay.
I sent an email to Mr. Ronnie. I haven't heard back yet, but I did tell him. As I understand, there's only one piece out there, and I basically said, you got to remove this piece of plywood, even though it's not, and it's not a huge wall, but it's a piece of structure that you can use. It looks like you're like brand new, kind of a bizarre attempt to keep someone's hand back. I could have almost just easily reached over there and grabbed it myself, but it's hard to go. Yeah.
It accelerates the
velocity. Do we have anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.